So welcome to another episode of the Young Indiana Jones Retrospective by the VAVHS Podcast. I'm Wesley, and joined as always by Spencer Scott Holmes. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. You know, just been trucking along hardcore on Pizza Boys 14. I'm on the inking stage, so a couple pages in, making it kind of like, it's that weird one where it's the mix of like, it feels like you're on like the finale run, but you're almost like maybe probably just more like 60% in.
Yeah. The inking phase. I like how do you have names for all the phases?
Well, yeah, because it's like, in a sense, the way I go about drawing it is that generally, you know, you write it and then you sort of do the pencils, which technically everything I do is digital. But like, so you sketch it all out first and kind of, you know, do all your figuring outs and have kind of your rough lines and so on. And then I like to go into lettering second or after the pencils, because what I've learned from that is that if I don't do the lettering first and you say you do some inking, you might draw this real nice page and so on like that, or this real nice background, and then realize you're like, oh, I didn't realize I wrote so much words right there, and they're going to take up all that stuff I just drew. So you get that part out of the way first and foremost, I feel, before you draw anything nice. And then you come in and you redraw over everything you just drew once, and you give it that nice polished look and so on. And then I add my tones in there and so on at this point, and it all starts to come together.
There you go. There you go. The inking phase has commenced on Pizza Boys 14. So if you're excited, just know that there's some inking going on.
There is. It's that weird thing where you feel like you've been there, like, because you wrote it, then you drew it once, and now you're drawing it like a third time. It's like, it has that weird feeling though, like you felt like you've been here like already a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. Well, we're just trucking along ourselves on the Young Indiana Jones Retrospective. We are doing episodes 18, 19, and 20. Probably a heavy emphasis on 19, because that's an actual feature-length movie. It's the Phantom Train of Doom. And this is not one of the George Lucas edited movies after the fact. This is one of the ones that was a movie from the beginning. It was a two-parter episode on ABC back when it aired. And a lot of fun with that. We also spend time in Italy with Ernest Hemingway. That was in Italy, right?
I think so. Gosh, I should have wrote that part down. I wrote down the other stuff that I thought. Yeah, it was because, yeah, I see my Italy note on there, actually.
Yeah, as we formally get into it, I'll be more concise. So you go back to Italy, and then also you go after episode 19 into episode 20, you go into Ireland, and you have some Irish revolutionary stuff going on, and Andy's caught in the middle of that, doing some bartending. And well, not really bartending, he's just the drink bitch.
Yeah,
he's a server.
They got Remy in the back washing dishes and so on, because we don't want him out in the front so that the normal people can see.
Gosh. So I feel bad because I was totally prepared to talk mad shit about Remy this entire episode, because he's definitely the Jar Jar of this,
except so much
less funny. But okay, so I didn't know how Remy died in real life.
The actor or the character?
The actor.
Really? I didn't even know he died.
Yeah, he committed suicide.
Oh my gosh. It wasn't because of the character that George gave him. I hope it wasn't one of those ones where everybody's like, the way that we've kind of been like, you know, making fun of Remy throughout the whole series. I hope that wasn't like how it was in 1993 for him. Just being like, who's this Jar Jar wannabe character up there? I know we don't use that term yet, but I'm pretty sure it's going to catch on.
George's like, he's the key to all this. He's the key to everything. No, he had a show, like he passed in the year 2000. He had a show on France 3. So then, you know, there's BBC 1, 2, and 3. I guess France has the same thing. They just cause there's France.
You know what you're getting into.
Yeah. They don't call it like the France Broadcasting Corporation or some bull. They just like, it's France 3. It's France 1.
This France 2.
And France, it's France 3. Yeah, so they're on France 3. He had a show called Rennie something, da, 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 and they canceled it. And he said, that's it for me.
that I canceled on TV. I'm canceling life, you know?
Yeah.
Poor fella.
Yeah, it sucks. He unalived himself. I knew he had passed. I read that at some point in time that he passed after these episodes. But man, like, okay, so we're separating the person from the character. So that way I could talk shit because this character is annoying. It's just not like, you know what I think they were trying to do? They weren't trying to copy this. I think the movie 1917 took some stuff from Young Indy. I'm convinced of it. I'm just convinced of it. And like those two main characters, you know, one of them kind of dies halfway through.
Yeah.
Sorry if I just spoiled 1917. You've seen it, right?
If not even like a third through the movie, because I remember that was the thing that threw me off. I was like, oh, the trailer makes it feel like these guys are going to be going the whole way. And it's like, yeah, I almost want to say it was like a half an hour into the movie that guy doesn't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That's where I am. But no, yeah. So I think, but that guy was kind of likable, but he had kind of like a Remy kind of vibe to him a little bit. And like, you know, he was more focused on, you know, food and all these other things and survival, and, you know, and bitching about everything. But he was likable. And Remy is not likable at all. First of all, he talks down to Indy a lot. And granted, Indy did some bonehead stuff, especially in 19, but he's like young. He's like a kid.
And he's hanging out with a middle-aged man.
Yeah, he's like, it works in Back to the Future, but there's not many things that can pull that off.
Well, see, because in Back to the Future, he's not like, at least Doc's not really, he's like more than middle-aged, where Remy's just that weird, like he's like in a midlife crisis and he decided he was just going to go off and explore the world, you know, halfway through life.
This dude is in the trenches and he's literally walking across a continent and he gets fatter.
And even in previous episodes, like he gets like, you know, the foot disease or whatever at some point. Yeah. Like, you know, he gets all the problems along the way and somehow, some way.
That'd probably be me. I'm going to be real. Like, this is probably me.
I think that's really the thing. At the end of the day, we all wish we were Indy, but we all know that we're all some form of a Remy.
Yeah, like Indy's getting shot at, like he's like riding a motorcycle, you know, delivering this dangerous package, and this airplane shooting at him, and he's zigzagging through, and he's like, "Yeah, I survived because I'm Indy." And then he gets back to Remy. He's like, "I have gout."
Maybe Remy's supposed to be like what Joy says. He's like, you know, that's what the average Star Wars / Indiana Jones fan is. That's them. I've just put them as the Avatar character in the show.
Shit. Damn, that might be what happened, actually. Oh, man.
I mean, granted, I will say that feels like what the Star Wars fan might be like in 2000s. You know what I mean? Like once they, you know, you put some years on them.
Yeah. We endured a lot of Remy with these three episodes. He wasn't in Italy.
No. That first one where I guess we want to start off there, which has the classic old Indy where there's two guys racing to get a parking lot spot. And then old Indy just fucking floors it in there. And like, you know, his like Ford Falcon or whatever the heck he had going on.
Well, okay. Ford Falcon. Wasn't that the car that they had in? It was a modified version, but wasn't the Ford Falcon what was in Mad Max?
No, that's a Ford. That is a Ford, though. That's oh god, I used to always know that one because that's like a very rare car. They made like 700 of them in like total, mm-hmm. or something like that. I don't know. I can't think what it is, but Indy's got something else kind of going on there, but there is these like two guys. There's like this, you know. There's a black dude, and then there's some kind of, you know, yuppie-looking white guy flying in. And then Indy comes out like, whoa, 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 fellas. Let me tell you a 45-minute story about why parking lot spots aren't that important.
Yeah, the moral is supposed to be, so yeah, these guys are fighting over a parking spot. Indy swoops in, takes it, and this very Benny Hill-type looking, like, move. Like, you know what it reminded me of? This is way off. But you should look this up if you haven't seen it. Have you seen that move that happened in the NASCAR race at the end of last year?
I think you explained this to me, but I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, so basically what happened, and it looked very similar to what Indy pulls off here in terms of just the speed of it, because it doesn't look real. But basically they were at Martinsville, which is one of the slower tracks. It's a short track. And mm-hmm. this guy had to make, he was trying to make the last round of the playoffs, and he had to pass a guy who was way ahead of him, and it's the last lap, and it's a very short track. So the guy, he hit on purpose and rode the wall all the way around.
Oh, really?
And
it's just like Hot Wheels did it.
Like past. Yeah, no, he learned it from video games. He's like, hey, this works in video games. Let's just fucking try it. And he did it. And it doesn't even look real. It doesn't even look real. But it worked. And it passes him right before the line. It's just the most amazing fucking shit ever.
Oh, my gosh. And I really want to see this. This just seems so much, you know, magic right here.
No, it is. It really is magic. And the in-car view is like him just like riding the wall. And like the car's like just breaking apart because he's like, yeah, it's crazy.
He's two steps away from throwing a red shell as he passes that guy.
He's going like one, he's probably, I'm estimating here, that track's kind of slower, he's probably hitting 150.
Yeah,
and those guys are hitting maybe 110.
He's just ripping it. Well, it's like, I guess it's, once you're on the side of that wall, you can just gun it. Like you got everything hold you there.
Yeah, he was flooring it. He had the pedal to the metal completely around this track that's like known for it. It's braking. That's how you win that race, is by being the best in braking. And he said, fuck brakes.
So you know that they now they got to modify that whole track. They like, because they're like, everybody's gonna be up on the sidewall.
Oh, they made a rule, you can't do that anymore. So like, but it wasn't a rule, so he didn't break it yet. But now it's like a rule, like you can't fuck guys. You're not gonna be able to do this every damn, because then it would just be chaos.
Everybody would just be spinning around. It would look like you're at like the circus and you're watching the motorcycle guys like in the cage.
Yeah. I'm sending it to you just so you can see all the stuff. But anyway, that's what the Indy thing looked like. It just looked unreal, like the movement, very Benny Hill, just like kind of sped up.
Just shoots right in.
Which they actually, speaking of Mad Max, they actually used that in Mad Max, especially the older ones. They kind of used it a little bit in Fury Road too, but.
Oh, yeah, they did like the overcranking or whatever.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird look. So yeah.
Or I guess it's technically undercranking, I think is what they call that one. So I think overcranking would make it slower.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, it's weird. But yeah, so Indy is trying to tell these guys, hey, don't argue over the spot. The moral is supposed to be, hey, don't fight. You're going to start fighting over something. Forget what you're even fighting for in the first place, which is what this episode's kind of about. But Indy's in a little over his head because he's trying to steal bitches from Ernest Hemingway. And history tells you, you're not going to do much of that. You're not going to do much of that.
This one's just a weird one where Indy's in Italy and there's this chick. Like pretty much like the last six episodes of Indy is just watching Indy like try to bang new like women each time. It's like,
yeah,
he's like going around like he's fucking David Lee Roth or something, you know?
Diamond Dave.
Yeah, like that's like one of those ones like that's like this like half a season's just been like Indy like on like the hunt.
Yeah, like he's like, it was the first was like, hey, let's set everything up and kind of give you an adventure, like an indie adventure. And then it was like war. And then now it's just booty.
Yeah, that's all it's been. It's just been like how many women can indie get at once. But this one there, it's like he's trying to win over literally this kind of like, I don't know, really kind of a richy kind of like Italian girl. And he's hanging out with Ernest Hemingway. He's like, dude, he's like, I need like tips and tricks to kind of get this. You know, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And so Ernest Hemingway starts giving him tips and tricks as the thing goes on. But then they realize that they're both dating the same chick. And like the asshole on the other side is, you know, the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah. They're basically, it's just a little love triangle thing going on. They're fighting over each other. And the girl is kind of like a composite character. She's supposedly represents this girl that Ernest Hemingway fell in love with in Italy back in the day. And she's supposed to be a semi-historical figure she was a nurse and I guess caring for him when he got wounded. And so that there's a lot of that going on. But Indy, what I remember most of this episode was I kind of like what my mind mostly remembers is the Phantom Train of Doom, which we'll get to next because it was really good. But it's just, there's an absurd scene in the middle of it where they're trying to compete for this girl. They realize they're both kind of like the other guy at one point. And they both show up to this party and they're both trying to one up each other. And it was so difficult for me to watch. It was just cringy.
Well, this is how I felt, like I even described it like this. It felt like it was an Italian opera combined with a slapstick comedy. Like yeah. It was such a weird mix mash of what was going on. Like it had this over the top acting, but then it would have like gags and it was a bizarre one. I mean, they even just doing the thing where they were like, they're trying to buy more and more gifts for her and so on. So they both come walk in the door, like carrying like 15 packages each. Like,
yeah, it was very cartoonish. Yeah. It was, you know, especially when you put it in context, like think about Al Pacino. He just mm-hmm. goes to Italy, gets a second wife.
Yeah. And she blows up and he realizes like, there we go. I don't bring it up anymore.
Yeah.
You know, this whole time I was thinking about, this is the reason I didn't go back to the U.S.
Yeah.
And she blew up. I have problem solved. I'll go back there. She'll be like, hey, you didn't say anything for 3 years. Be like, whatever. Come back to the house. We're getting married again.
It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Car blows up. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Andy is simping too hard for Andy in this episode. Really, so is Ernest Hemingway. And real life, I think Indy and Ernest Hemingway like, oh, you banging her too? Damn. Well, you know, Eskimo brothers, you know, just that's probably how they'd handle that, honestly. But no, it's just, I don't know, whatever. It's 1916 or whatever year it was. They're probably, you know, the courting is a little more serious as it probably should be, honestly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a weird episode. I didn't really like it that much. It's definitely one of the ones that, especially when it's, you know, these 18 and 20 are kind of forgettable because they're, you know, surrounded by the feature length film in the middle, which is Phantom Train of Doom, which is one of the first movies we, I think it's the first time, if I'm wrong, it's the first time we've watched a feature length thing since the very first episode, right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, technically, that blues and jazz episode would have been one episode in the U.S. And the Indiana Jones, you know, and the three girls at once in New York would have been one episode.
Yeah, so we should have been watching more movies by now.
Yeah.
But we're watching the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. But what we've discovered is we're watching the European Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, which is different. So it's even more episodic than the American ones were.
Yeah.
So that's kind of,
but I think by this point we're all like, we're back to back. Europe and America have the same lineup from this point on.
Yeah. I think everything that's a movie there is a movie here, because essentially when the show got canceled, they just made four movies. You know, kind of keep it going, and they put them on the Family Channel here, which now that the more I'm thinking about it, I think I did watch one of those at one point. It's like it's starting to creep back into my memory. I think I did when I was growing up, watch one of those. I think they did like a marathon one day.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's irrelevant. But Phantom Train of Doom.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because yeah, we wrap up and that pretty much is what episode 18 is. It's just a goofy mixed match, you know, relationship between all these guys, and watching Indy trying to play an instrument and Ernest Hemingway coming in and play, you know, they had some weird battles going on in there, and how they were trying to compete with each other, and how the grandma's always looking over at Indy being like, the other guy's better. Nobody likes a dirty American.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff going on. And, Ernest Hemingway, it's played by the guy who I used to watch this when I was a kid. I think it's The Computer Who Wore Tennis Shoes.
Oh, is that like a remake of the because I think of the 60s one or whatever that's got Kurt Russell in it.
Maybe. It might be. I mean, it is Disney.
Yeah, because that's Disney as well, too.
Wait, I might be thinking of the wrong thing. Who wore tennis shoes?
Because there's a... Yeah, I was just saying, there's a 60s movie. It's called, like, The Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes, and it's got Kurt Russell on the cover.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking of another thing, but I think it's similar to that. I'm gonna find it real quick. Episodes. So we're at episode 18. Hold on a second. Let me get to this one real quick. Northern Italy. What's this guy's name? Because it's gonna pop up as soon as I see it. I'm on IMDb. No, not quite human.
Oh, okay.
Not quite human, but it's similar to that. It was a Disney Channel thing. And there was like several of these movies, and Alan Thicke is the dad in those.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So when I'm seeing Jay Underwood, he's in those, he's playing Hemingway in this. I can't get my mind off the fact that he was Chip Carson. That was his name. And Not Quite Human. He also had Alan Thicke, Robin Lively, bunch of interesting people. But I used to watch the shit out of that as a kid. I couldn't tell you what the plot was or anything now. Mm-hmm. But I do remember watching those movies a lot. I think there was like three of them.
Yeah, I remember that. There's always those certain movies and shows that you watch the living daylights out of, but it's almost been so long that you couldn't even write a paragraph on it for the most part. It's like, you know, one of those ones.
It was way back in the recesses of my memory. But as soon as I saw him, I think the first time you see him is in the Chicago episode where he's playing a reporter. Mm-hmm. It's the first time you see Hemingway. I think I'm right.
You know, and he might have almost even appeared. Maybe that was the first time. I almost want to say he appeared even before that, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. If I did, if he did, it was more subtle and I didn't realize it. But yeah, as soon as I saw him, and then I'm like, hey, there's Not Quite Human. Or we feel like more tennis shoes. But I think it's supposed to be the same thing. But Kurt Russell.
In towards the end of this episode, doesn't it kind of end that Italian girl's almost been three-timing it, and she has like an Italian-like suitor as well too?
I think so.
Isn't that how it was? And it's kind of real. It's like once one's like, well, I guess we're never going to compete with Italy. Okay. And then like they just literally like walk out like arms over shoulders, just like, bah, 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 bah.
I mean, what if it was Al Pacino?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the thing ends by her being blown up. and Indy and Ernest both win.
I mean, it's one of those ones like year-wise that's not off too far. It's like only off by like 10 years. Maybe a little bit. No, because Al Pacino comes back from World War II. I was saying he came back from World War I-ish, but no, it's the other way.
Yeah, they name drop one of Ernest Hemingway's books in this. What is it? Hold on a second. I'm going to edit a little bit here. A Farewell to Arms.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
He mentions that, and then I'm so tired I couldn't think of it. And then he's like, hey, I like that. And I was like, okay, Indy, whatever. So Phantom Train of Doom.
Yeah, we'll get there because I felt that last episode, it just reminds you of that George Lucas isn't the greatest romantic writer.
He's really not.
that's probably like his weakest like feel is probably writing romance.
Yeah. Unless there's like a car involved.
Yeah, if there's a man who loves a car, it's probably going to be great, but.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of weird because it's like in American Graffiti, it's not. I mean, granted, American Graffiti does have like the two other writers in there that could fix that little snippet.
George is a great conceptual storyteller, a great world builder, and he is good at creating characters, and he's good at fitting a message into things, especially Star Wars is so ingrained with like so much. Like just it's not just a you know sci-fi movie, it's a fantasy, it's also a western, it's also this, and then you have all these undertones of like Vietnam War stuff, and you know in this one the terrorists are the good guys, you know, and all that stuff. So he's good at that, but man, I'm surprised he ever got laid. Like honestly, like it's just
Well, like, he even has like that old man thing where like once he got the divorce, like, well, I guess that's the end of that.
Yeah.
I'll just adopt some more kids and fuck it.
Yeah.
Or sorry, no, he got remarried. Take it back. He did get remarried. I forgot. I just pictured him as the single father from like the period, like for a long time.
No, he's married now, but
yeah,
you know, he's like billionaire married.
Yeah.
I was like, they may never see each other that often. You know what I mean? So whatever. What are we even speculating on this for? Episode 2 is so cringy though. Like I can't even get through it.
I mean, I still like episode 2 because, well, I mean, I like anything George Star Wars, but yeah. You know.
It's just like even Natalie Portman was like, I can't make this a thing. She's such a good actress that she's like, I can't. So anyway,
Phantom Train
of Doom. A lot of interesting stuff about this one. So this one kind of started off kind of weird. It was kind of like rushed at the beginning. But once it got settled into it, this is one of the best things we've seen. I've seen, at least. I'm sure you feel the same way. This was awesome. Phantom Train of Doom was awesome.
Yeah. No. Because once this one kind of gets rocking and rolling, it's really cool because it literally throws, you know, Remy and Indy kind of get thrown into almost like a Dirty Dozen, like Expendables type crew of all these old dudes. Well, I guess Remy sort of gets thrown in a little bit later because Remy sort of gets left behind for a moment. Mm-hmm. But... Well, I guess if we go farther back, what are they? They're in Africa, right? Still in this one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. And they totally get lost by taking the wrong trains. It's, you know, it's back in the day. You think you're on the right train and, you know, you're in a foreign country and all kinds of stuff and mm-hmm. or foreign continent even, because now they're just traveling for 300 plus miles, you know. And Indy keeps taking all the wrong things and Remy just gets pissed. He's just done with it, you know, because everything that Indy does is in the wrong direction too far. And they're supposed to meet back with the French troops as always or whatever. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, they're 300 plus miles away and they're thrown into like literally trying to get back to their unit. They're thrown into a brand new scheme to be set up mm-hmm. just because Indy speaks German.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very serendipitous the way this whole thing works out. So, yeah. So they board a train. They get some misinformation, but Andy knew where he was going. He's like, listen, if that was Mount Kilimanjaro over there, then we're going to Moki, and then we're not going to Moki, but they were. And so then they get wrong information. They board the wrong train again, and then it breaks down. So then they have to walk, and then they walk in the wrong direction. So they're like, they're at that point, like, you went the wrong direction to go the wrong direction again, to then go the wrong direction a third time. Where the fuck are you even? But Indy is just really just chill about walking through the fucking African savannah again.
Yeah, lions are out and everything like that, you know.
At least he has a gun this time. The 9-year-old episodes were wild.
Yeah.
He's just gonna fucking I'm just gonna go play in the backyard, guys. And he just walks, you know, around and kids, come back before the, you know, lights go out.
Yeah.
No, they're fucking like lion, like they're just walking past lions. And it happens again in this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Remy, okay, first of all, I would feel safe if I was Indy for two reasons. One, you got a gun. Two, you know Remy's a snack.
Yeah, because, you know, it's the classic thing. As long as I can outrun the other guy, I'm good.
Yeah, and you know he's going to.
Yeah.
And if you're just a lion, you're like, which one am I going to eat?
Yeah.
Which one do I want? It's Remy. So, again, here's Remy trekking across the continent, just, you know, whatever. He kind of looks, it's kind of like if Andre the Giant and John Lennon had a baby.
Yeah, it sort of is. Yeah, it's just if John Lennon shaved his head, like that's sort of, Remy's got that similar kind of facial structure.
He does. He has like a John Lennon face, but he's giant and he kind of sounds like Andre the Giant a little bit. So it's like they had a baby.
And he's got the circular glasses on and everything.
Yeah. So weird. God, we're so mean. We're so mean. Sorry, Remy. Anyway. Yeah, so they're out in the middle of nowhere and they bump into what they think might be a German camp and are spying on them, and they go down there and one of the guides from this group kind of like sneaks up on them with a gun. They go down there and it's just a bunch of old guys. It's like the villages in Florida, but it's all dudes and, you know, probably way less rapey. You know, villages in Florida real quick.
No, I don't. So,
okay. So villages are like this giant mega retirement community down in Florida near Orlando. I mean, it's gargantuan. It's so big that because they all vote Republican down there, they're one of the reasons that state swings. Like the villages are like, the villages are like so important politically. Like they're almost a tipping point for Florida, which is a tipping point really could decide that little community can decide a whole election.
Really. You know, and they got all the time on their hands. So, you know what I mean? They're unlike with the working class that doesn't always have time to go vote. These people got freedom.
So here's what you got to know. So we're talking about retirement communities because that's basically what Indy stumbles into. As if it's all dudes. Per capita, most the place with the most STDs reported in the United States is the villages. And that is a real fact.
Just it literally, they keep free love alive.
Dude, they just go down there and bone in their golf carts all day.
Just
look up the villages. You got the NASCAR thing to look up and then the villages after that, which I think Ross Chastain, the NASCAR guy, is from Florida. So there you go. There's a connection there. But yeah, so they stumble into this old people's group. And then one of the guys is like, well, we need someone who knows about trains, but also can speak German. And Andy walks up like right then.
And Indy's like, well, I worked on a coal train when I was a kid for like a moment. You know, I took a tour once with a school group.
Yeah, and I've shoveled coal into it. I'm a train expert. And the guy's like, do you speak German? He's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
And so the guy that's like, well, yeah, we need you. You just were, you know, divinely sent to us on a silver platter.
Yeah, the Deus Ex Machina just came in.
Yeah. Yeah, you really did. It was really weird how they set that up.
What were they gonna do if he didn't show up?
Yeah, I don't know what their plan was. It was very weird the way they set that up. And I think I'm thinking of the right person here, but I know one of the interesting things about this, and kind of like the leader of this group of you know, elderly misfits, is Belloc.
Ew.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, if you look at the IMDb, he's in this. So he's not obviously the same character. It's just the guy who played Belloc in Raiders of the Lost Ark is playing Indy's friend in this one, a completely different character. And he's got a beard. And if you didn't really look at the casting, you probably wouldn't know it was him, but he's there.
Huh.
Yeah. And so Indy serendipitously just wanders through this continent and finds the group of people who desperately need him to go on this mission. And basically Indy teams up with the Expendables.
Yeah, well, that's where it kind of is. It's like it's a mixed match of like there's the Expendables because there's these old dudes here. But it kind of reminds me almost even like Dirty Dozen at the same time. And there was this other movie I actually just watched not too long ago called The Wild Geese. It's in the 70s and it stars Roger Moore as one of the characters. Well, he's not the main star, but he's like the second guy in it or something. I was just so interested because I heard that was like one of the movies that inspired Hideo Kojima to make Metal Gear, the original one. And I was like, well, I gotta check this out. And then that movie has a very similar thing where it's all these old dudes are like, you know what, let's go back off on one last mission, you know. Well, they're all British, but you know, they're like, let's go do that, you know, we're the wild geese and so on. And that's literally what I almost even thought when I was watching this, because that's all these guys are. They're like, all these old guys are like, yeah, we're gonna go do it, we're gonna go get this mission, and we're gonna take out that phantom train because, you know, the Germans have been bombing us with this giant cannon, they're hiding it somewhere, you know, and we think it's a train.
Yeah, they have all these theories because people can't figure out where it is, what's going on, and everybody's pinned down. It's very think of Dunkirk a little bit, you know. And so these guys basically hop in this jalopy and just, you know, you go across Africa to find out what's going on. And Indy kind of gets swept up into this. So he leaves Remy behind in the trenches, which is a great decision,
I think,
for Indy and just really much everybody involved, including the viewer. He leaves Remy behind in the trenches. So he goes on this adventure to stop this train. And really, you could see how this was easily broken into episodes, because the second half of this movie has nothing to do with the train, even though it's called Phantom Train of Doom.
Yeah, that was the one thing I thought the whole time. I was like, I thought the train was going to pop back up at some point just because that's what the episode's called. So I felt like it seemed weird because it literally felt like two episodes. It didn't feel like it was necessarily a movie. It felt kind of like two episodes that kind of had a somewhat continual cast of characters. In a sense, the same way that the Jazz and Chicago one did.
Yeah.
You know, where even if those ones were connected, it wouldn't. I mean, yeah, they got a couple similar characters, but they're two completely different stories almost.
So that's the interesting thing. So if you watched the Jazz episodes in the United States, you got a movie, and that's the one with Harrison Ford in it. He plays Indy in a couple parts of the show. If you watch it in Europe, you get old Indy at the bookends, and you get episodes, and they're continued. But you could easily see how they're thrown together. And this one's the same thing. You could easily see how they were separated and put in the episodes with an old Indy at the beginning of both, but just continued like the Jazz episodes, because the Jazz episodes have the same characters. It just goes on a different story. Because the first one's all about, you know, Jazz and Indy trying to be black. And the second one is Indy tracking down a murder mystery. And there's, you know, they're playing the blues in that one. This one, yeah, you could basically see where it would cut off right when they get the first mission done. They go talk to the general and they're like, hey, by the way, got another mission for you. And you could just see where it would be two episodes.
Yeah. And I almost want to say this one didn't have an old Indy in it, though.
No, because I think they basically treated this one like a movie. So this is basically like watching the movies. Which some of, like, because, you know, like we've said before, George re-edits all these into films. And some of them work, obviously, like the Jazz one and this one. And things, anything that has a continuous story from one to the next episode. But some of them, I'm like, how do you put them together? Like the one we watched way back in the day. Or like, how does this fucking fit together? Like, what happened in the middle here that caused me to be like, what the fuck is going on? And that's what happened. So... But Phantom Train of Doom is really one episode of, you know, a movie. it's really kind of weird how they set it up.
Yeah, it is kind of a bizarre one because, yeah, once you get this train, which the train's actually pretty cool, you know, it's just this ginormous cannon that's on, like, this train that they, like, hide beneath, like, the rock, just like the Batcave in the 66 show almost.
I was thinking it felt very 007.
Yeah, it had that kind of thing. I mean, I started thinking with that cannon. I'm like, because the way it sort of fired in there, I'm like, if that cannon's so powerful, like, I mean, you got to get that train properly aligned or else you're going to blow it right off the tracks.
Yeah.
There's recoil in and everything. Yeah.
Recoil and just like, there's just a lot of stuff going on. Basically, the thing that bothered me most about this episode was the only thing I didn't like about it, really, because this, I had fun with this one. The group of characters around Indy are fun, even though they're really mean to Indy a few times. Yeah. They like talk all kinds of mad shit to him and kind of belittle him. And also, they kind of absconded him to go on this mission. They've lied to him in both episodes.
Yeah.
They just completely lie to him. And they're like, well, you wouldn't have came if we told you the truth. Like, well, yeah, that's wrong.
We're old. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, we're old. Yeah, basically that's how they, you know, justify that. But so they're looking for this train. They have this really good idea of finding it. They basically are making Indy go down the train tracks on one of those things. I don't know what you call them, but
Yeah, like the push down carts, what the manual like train cart.
Yeah.
Maybe some cool official name for that. I'm surprised I don't even know that.
Yeah, same, actually. I was thinking of Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, exactly.
or Brother War Off Out. They both have it. But he's going down the train tracks and that thing, and the other guys are in the car. The old guys are in the car. And they're trying to find out where this train is. So they go further ahead, and they both think that, oh, we got the train cornered and Indy's tracing it. And they're like, okay, the train's on the way. And all of a sudden it fucking disappears. So they have to figure out what's going. But in the middle of that, they find out that there's a communication cable, like a long, long cable, and they don't cut it. Like, that bothered me so bad.
Yeah.
And later they were like, hey, we should have cut that communications cable. I'm like, yeah, no shit. Everyone was thinking that when you had the knife up to it.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
That plot, so.
It's okay. Those guys are old enough to not know what the cable probably was.
Was that the train? Obviously, they did something to it. That was the train from Back to the Future 3, wasn't it?
Do you think that was?
I think it was. I think it was. Not the future train where Doc Brown was flying. But like,
because I want to say that train. Well, that train sits down the hill from me. It literally is a that Back to the Future Part 3 train's down there. So that's why it kind of makes me wonder if it would have been probably shot up this direction. I just don't remember any young Indiana Jones stuff here.
Well, so
if it was shot in Africa, it can't be then.
No, it's not that. I didn't. So that train's down there. You can go like see it.
Yeah, it's literally at a town. Yeah, I'll literally be down at that town tomorrow. But a town called Jamestown is where that train's all kind of sits at. And there's a railroad museum there. And you could generally, they were repairing it a couple of years ago. So it was all in pieces. But they're putting it all back together. And then there's some of the other carts that are like using like the Unforgiven and so on like that there.
Mm. So that's really cool. So that's how ironic when we bring up that particular train. You're like, actually, I know where that train is. Like,
yeah, I know where it's sitting. I'll literally drive past it tomorrow.
Out of all the movie props. But I knew that you might have some insight when I brought it back to Future 3 because I knew it was filmed kind of near you. But
yeah,
that's really, so it's not the same train. It does look, the side of it looks familiar.
Yeah, it does look kind of similar though.
Yeah, the black on it. And I was like, maybe that's the same train. It would make sense. He's in that, you know, Zemeckis is in that, like, not Zoetrope but almost Zoetrope crew, like Zoetrope extra. But yeah, so really cool train, really cool plot. They have to sneak in there. It's really fun. They have to try to blow it up. Indy does some dumb shit early in the middle of the episode and kind of messes up the explosives. So Indy basically has to learn to be like the other guys, like not plan things out. All the guys are like Jack Sparrow. The fly by the seat of their pants.
Yeah, they don't work with plans or anything like that. It's just, you know, except don't get the dynamite wet. So don't put it in your backpack. That's going to be in the rain.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that, they don't plan anything out. And he's like, I want plans. And then later in the episode, he's like, we're just going to do this as we go. And he has a really cool idea. And the badass part of this episode was the shot, the sniper shot that blew up the train.
Oh, yeah. That's really cool. Because there's that one dude, because everybody on the team's got their own like super skills and so on like this. And there's like one old dude who's just like the crack shot.
Mm-hmm. He's like, and Indy knew this guy. That was the thing. Like, Indy, when he goes to that camp, he's like, oh, hey, remember we met when I was 9? And it's like, yes, yeah. And then the guy's like, you said I was the best shot in Africa. He goes, yeah, that was like 6 years ago. He's like, yeah, that was a long time ago. No, it wasn't. It was like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's not that long ago.
Yeah, maybe nine years at the most. But yeah, so I just thought that was really, really funny the way he says that. That was a long time ago. No.
He's like, well, in African years, it's like, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. But yeah, he has, and that's Belloc. That was Belloc. That is the shot.
Okay.
So I thought that was really, really cool that he's in this episode as a good guy. So to be clear, if you're trying to follow this, you haven't watched this, the character Belloc is not in this, just the guy who plays him. Freeman. I think it's his name. But Phantom Train of Doom. So yeah, they blow up this giant cannon. It was really fucking cool. It felt like a video game, like mission. It really felt like a video game mission.
Yeah, it definitely had that. Literally, like Metal Gear Solid was almost a good way to kind of say it too. It's like, you know, going in, infiltrating, finding out the secrets and all this stuff. This hidden fortress that, you know, enclosed the train and its giant cannon on there and so on. Which made me always wonder how exactly you aim that cannon. That was the other thing I kind of thought too. If it's on train tracks, you could only shoot it in one direction.
This cannon's not very practical. Although I do think that they had guns and big howitzers and stuff like that they did put on train tracks. I think that part's real.
Yeah, that part is definitely real. I'm trying to think of like how the logistics work and all that kind of stuff. Because with, you know, how much recoil comes from firing artillery, you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see if you had it where like you had like one of those like roundabouts where you could spin the tracks and aim it any direction you need to, and then roll it back away and hide it.
Yeah, you need it to. Now, there's a lot of engineering on there that I'm not intelligent enough to articulate, but I kind of have an idea. But yeah, it's it was a fun episode, and so they blow up the train in spectacular fashion. And then they go back to the front lines. And by the way, Indy and Remy are still supposed to be in Belgium. They're not.
Yeah.
Not Belgium. They're supposed to be at the Belgian troops. They're supposed to be at Lake Victoria.
Yeah. It was just, you know, like literally like 300 or 400 miles away.
Yeah. So when Indy gets back, Remy's like, hey, now we got to get back home. We got to go back to where our troops are. And Indy's like, yeah, we'll do that. And then those guys are like, oh, we'll take you along. We'll just take you back to the troops. It's no big deal. We'll just, you know, we'll just take you there. Psych. We're really sneaking you on a mission again to go kidnap a fucking general.
Yeah, exactly. So they just send both. Now this time Remy and Indy are off thrown in this mission. And Remy's just there is literally, he's just thrown into goofy joke like scenes. I mean, even the part where they're like, you know what? This is how we're going to sneak in. Remy, dress up as a woman.
They had two of them dress up as a woman. It looked like.
Oh, that's right. But yeah, just Remy. And it's like, and when that gives him away, that like the German guy just looks, he's like, you know how I knew that this was a sham? You got the ugliest chick right here.
Yeah. Yeah. And Remy's got like a 5 o'clock shadow.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and they're trying to play Oregon Trail in the middle of Africa. Like, Remy died of dysentery.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, it's not going to work. Yeah, they're like, the Germans sneak up on them like, they're like, we're settlers. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's nice right. They also kidnap, before that, as they're pretending to be settlers, they see some girl on a horse and they shoot her.
Yeah.
And she's very unaffected by this. I guess they shot the horse.
Yeah, well, it's like it's almost like they shot the saddle. I want to say that's what he said. He's like, because it's the dude who's, you know, he's such a good shot anyways that he shoots the shit saddle and like, you know, spooks the horse, flips her off. And then that's where somehow, somewhere they all know each other.
Yeah. So Indy bounces into this guy from this military group in the middle of nowhere, Africa. He's like, yeah, we know each other. Remember? And then they're riding through the middle of Africa again. And he shoots this girl off a horse. Hey, I banged your mom.
Yeah. Just like, he's like, wait. They give it a very cul-de-sac feel down there where everybody just lives next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like the, you know, the neighborhood in the Sandlot, except you're on the giant fucking continent. In the middle of nowhere, like you're just, here's the African savannah, and like, oh, there's so-and-so, I banged her mom. And that's literally what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you and my mom had an affair. He's like, yeah, well, you know, whatever, your mom was hot, so. So now I'm shooting you off a horse because you're German.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they kidnap this girl, then the Germans kidnap them, and they end up in this jail. But they, what you find out is the old guys, sorry, the Expendables, basically had this plan the whole time, and Remy just throws a giant hissy fit.
Yeah, well, nothing works up for Remy. Even that girl, like, she just, you know, she puts down his cooking, and he's like, that's what I've always been good at. What do you mean she doesn't like my cooking? You go up there and you tell her again.
So much foreshadowing to the prequels, Star Wars prequels in these, because he is Jar Jar, y'all. Like, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's
Rim Binks.
Yeah, Rim Binks. Yeah, with the giant. no, he's a giant John Lennon. goodness gracious. Yeah. So, second part of this episode was really good, though. I really liked the character they had play the German general. He has like a very Willem Dafoe vibe, especially when he's yelling at people. He kind of has the same like mouth almost as Willem Dafoe, and basically they get kidnapped on purpose, and they're doing that because that's where this general is, and the old guys want to capture him, and they get away in their car without the bad guy, but Indy does capture him, but in a fucking balloon.
Yeah, they go to escape in a hot air balloon, and nobody knows how to properly like fly it, and of course they're only flying like 20 feet off the ground and going at like, you know, 6 miles per hour.
And in this episode of Indy, the German army is way less effective than even fucking stormtroopers, because this balloon is going like 8 miles an hour, and they're trying to like chase it and like do all these things with it and jump in it, and they just like, oh, we fell off, and then like Remy has 1,000 sand packs in there.
Yeah, I thought about that too. I'm like, how much more stuff can they throw out of this? It's like they're in a, like, they're in a basket. I feel the only reason this balloon hasn't taken flight is because Remy's still in it.
Because when they're first getting away from the camp, they're throwing sandbags out and hitting people with it.
Yeah.
Then they do it again later. And then when the German army gets to them, they're just throwing them out. But when they show the basket, at one point, the guy's like taking a nap in there. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
So it's just like, how many like fucking sandbag? Like, come on. Yeah. That basket was the basket Jesus used with the fish and bread.
just continual sand. And then they find other stuff in there. Like one point they're throwing like a chest out and all kinds of other things in there. It's like, where is all this stuff hidden in here?
I want to
think like Merlin's multiple. Like, you know, flying like balloon out here.
Yeah, I want to see those multiple chests too. And then that balloon is really like takes a lot of hits. It takes so many hits and it just keeps flying along.
Yeah, and they got the repair kit and everything that they can go up there, and Indy can throw some tar on there and patch it right back up.
That balloon was legit. That balloon, like, that balloon fucks, man. Okay.
It did, yeah. I mean, it's one of those ones, well, once they got going, and I like just, like, the German guy the whole time. He just knows he's literally with about two buffoons, but he's kind of, like, in a sense, still imprisoned by these two guys that he's trying to outwit his way to get out of here, you know?
Yeah. He's you know who'd been a great person to play that role though was Tim Curry.
Oh yeah. You know, Tim Curry would have just like chewed that scenery there.
It needed a Tim Curry in this because it's so absurd, this fucking balloon. Because they finally catch up to him, the German army finally catches up to him, and they're like shooting the balloon, they're patching, and like Indy's up there patching holes in this balloon, like sitting duck, not getting hit by bullets. And then they, right when they finally get it almost to the ground, they're almost like trying to reach them, they realize they're going off a cliff. And so the balloon sails off, and everybody's like, oh, damn it, balloon. And they're like, fuck y'all.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like one of those ones, like, you know, you guys all have guns still. Like, if that balloon escapes, that you got other issues.
And I like how, man, we're just poking holes in all this shit. I'm so sorry. I did love this episode, but it's just funny, the plot things. I love how these guys, like, I'm a military genius. He tells you like 8 times in the episode, but his brilliant tactic when they're looking at the compass, because if they go south, they're going towards the Germans. If they go north, they're going towards, you know, Belgians.
Yeah.
Whatever. The waffles. They're heading there. And he's like, he looks at, he's like, oh, I have a compass, because he turns his back. We're definitely going south. I'm going to accept your surrender right now. I'm definitely doing that. I'm military genius. Military genius. Nobody does the military like I do. Nobody.
And I just love how Indy's like, hey, let me see that compass then. Oh, okay. He just hands it over. It's just like, what were you? I thought he was going to throw the compass. I thought what he was going to do is look at it and then chuck it over. Be like, yeah, there you go. Go get it. No, he just kind of gets threatened once. He's like, oh, okay.
Damn, I should see my
compass. But give me it back to me. It was expensive.
Yeah. And then he gives it back to him at the end of the episode. Like, I want your bitch ass compass. Oh, man. Yeah. So, yeah, they basically do all the stuff. And then at the end, a pretty girl that was captured in the. By the way, she flies by this balloon in a plane and shoots it down, and it just keeps going. And then they finally all end up on the ground together. Oh, they end up on the ground twice. One time they run into the trees, and there's fucking lions.
Oh, yeah.
And the lions start eating their weapons.
Yeah, that's how they escape, because, you know, lions love the taste of, you know, gunpowder.
Yeah. And so basically Will Dafoe, the guy, he just starts yelling at the lions, like, and they run away. He's a military genius. I just yell at lions and they run, they're scared of me. That's basically he's just, yeah. And so that's the episode.
Wait, somehow how are they shoot down that lady too in her plane? Like,
because in addition to all the fucking sandbags they have in there, they have a giant fucking gun that they didn't use when the fucking Germans were attaching it, when they were escaping from the camp the first two times the Germans came after them.
Yeah, they got a big old turret in there that like is just sitting there, just like literally just keep pulling things out.
The Phantom Train to Doom and the magic balloon. This balloon
The balloon's more the you see they put a lot of mystery in that Phantom train, but let's be honest, it's a Phantom balloon.
This balloon has got some shit going on, man. They keep just pulling shit out.
Yeah.
So, by the way, conveniently, the plot has given us this gun. Thanks, Chris.
And plus, Indy does like the most bonehead thing with the gun too, because like Indy does almost just as much dumb shit as Remy. Like in this one, because there's a part where like Remy's like, "Oh well, Indy, make sure that you put the gun up and mount it before you shoot it." And even the German guy's like, "Yeah, make sure you do that before you do it." And he's like, "Whatever, man, I'm just gonna pick this thing up, you know, just like in the movies." And he's like, "Buh, buh, 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 buh," and just blasts giant holes in the. I don't even know how the balloon survives that. It was once the machine gun fire goes straight through the, you know, the dead center of it there.
Yeah, the director of this is Peter MacDonald. Let's see what else he directed. I think he did some Tales of the Crypt, Young Indiana Jones Chronicles episode, Never Ending Story 3, one episode of Tales of the Crypt.
Gotcha, I forgot there's a Never Ending Story 3.
Yeah, I forgot there's a Never Ending Story 2. and then Rambo, he directed Rambo 3.
Oh, that's a good one right there.
Yeah, he directed Rambo 3 and then Mo Money in 1992, and then this episode of Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, Never Ending Story 3, Tales from the Crypt episode, and then a bunch of stuff I've never even heard of. But yeah, so I don't know. It was just weird. I was like, I want to know who directed this, because there was just so much weird decision making in this. But it explains why there's just guns just showing up out of nowhere when you direct Rambo 3.
Yeah, exactly. You know, got all that action. It actually kind of makes kind of more sense, as it does actually have some kind of feeling to that. But yeah, with all the goofiness in there, it is still a really fun episode and just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Cool concepts, cool stories. It, you know, the action's great in it and so on like that. I will say this one does use a lot of CG, I noticed. I felt like there was way more CG in this episode than mostly all the others.
There was a lot of green screen stuff, especially when it came to the train. Like they were trying to cover it up, because anytime you're getting to like a close, like when they're really close to the train, mm-hmm. they were doing a lot of things to kind of not show it and block it out. And what was weird is they put this big rock facade there and then it was not there. Like they're out in the middle of the plains, and then I'm glad you brought that up, because that was weird.
Because I just know there was just, I mean, even just starts the very beginning of the episode when they get off that boat, you're like, oh, it's literally just like Remy and Indy, and they just green screened them and then just put a fake CG boat right there, mm-hmm. you know? Because I mean, that's the other big thing of Young Indiana Jones, is it is like the total like experimental test ground for CG stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was like, I think literally part of like George's kind of plan was like, he's like, I'm going to test out all these ideas and I can utilize them in Young Indiana Jones and see how mm-hmm. they work.
Yeah. I definitely think that was part of it. Like they needed a testing ground for, you know, making stuff. I think really just trying to get Lucasfilm to make stuff at that point in time. And let's try out this new technology. And then, you know, we'll do this Young Indy thing I've been wanting to do. So I don't know. It's just, yeah, there was some weird things about it. But Phantom Train of Doom was really, really good. We both loved it. It's just a lot of funny, ridiculous things about it. And the train part, when they're putting the explosives on the train, was very suspenseful.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me, actually, of Force Awakens, when they're putting the charges in Starkiller Base or whatever the knockoff bullshit, Death Star, whatever the knockoff one was. That's what it reminded me of. But it was fun.
Yeah, definitely was one of those ones. But yeah, it's still a cool episode, even if it's goofy moments. But I guess that takes us into our fourth episode, or technically third episode, depending on how you look at it, of the night.
Yeah, I don't remember this one at all. I'm not even gonna lie. It's episode 20 of the series. So Indy is going to Ireland, and what year is this?
Well, see, this one, this is where like almost like the re-edited versions would probably make more sense, because this one's supposed to take place literally right after the Pancho Villa Mexico episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is even before. So if you go listen to our first, second episode that we did, it was, he's in England, and this is where he meets Elizabeth Hurley. And this is where they, in England, they sign up for the Belgian army. And they have all this time to kill, and then they travel around England, and he's trying to get laid and can't get any. But this one, yeah, starts off right after Mexico. So this one actually takes place before that. And Andy is, you know, hasn't even joined the Belgian army yet. He's going to, but he's going to make some money to get to where he's got to go. So he becomes like a barkeep kind of person.
Yeah, because this one's just one of those ones, like, sometimes just the weird editing of going back and forth. I can see going back and forth between the kid indie and the teen indie, but this one's like one of those ones, like, this really should feel like it should have been the third episode. Like,
yeah, if, okay, so that brings us to the question. So we're trying this out. We're watching this in this order, because this is the order we have it in from Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, which is the European episodic version, but very similar to the American episodic version. And you could watch this as it was released, or you could watch it chronologically. And I think if we were doing it over, I would have watched it chronologically, because I don't like the way it bounces around either.
Yeah. Well, I just don't know if George just kind of had that thing. He's like, because obviously this was shot way later anyways. It's not like you could have done it that way initially. So you just go like, you know what? I think we need an Irish episode that goes in between the Pancho Villa and the English episode.
Yeah,
like yeah. That's all I think about. It's like, you know what, we gotta shoehorn one in there real quick. Like, you know, they stop off in Ireland, and you know, they went from one revolution to another.
Well, see, you know what's weird too is like, this might be a Lucasfilm thing, because Clone Wars does this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever watched the Clone Wars show, but it's chronologically fucked. It's like all over the place. Like, you'll have stuff in like season one that happens towards the end, like right before the end of the Clone Wars, and you'll have, it goes all over the place until Disney buys it. Then the last, I think, two seasons are pretty much in order. Mm-hmm. But those first, I don't know how many seasons are, but like, we'll say five.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's literally what there is.
Yeah, I think there's, yeah, the first five, I think there's seven seasons, and the first five are just all over the place, just nonsensical in terms of chronological order. This is not as bad, but this one did bother me, how you're gonna like, okay, let's go back to Ireland now. Like, no.
Yeah, I mean, once the episode gets rolling, I mean, you're kind of with it, but like, that, as I just think about it, just, it seems kind of, it's strange, because you just don't think of too many things jumping around so much like this. But
yeah, it's kind of weird. So let me go to, I'll edit this out, because I'm trying to get to season two. yeah, so Ireland, April 1916. Although his daughter, Ireland, April 1916. Although his daughter tells him that it's time to go to the grandparents' tea at Lucy's school, old Indy would rather watch a soap opera and tell her about his stay in Ireland around the time of Easter Rising of 1916. He and Remy had just arrived from Mexico and were waiting tables and washing dishes in order to get the fare to London. Indy tried to impress a girl called Maggie, who assumed he must be rich, while with him being American and all. So
I love an old indie. Like, I feel like the old indies that's like reaching, where it's just like he's watching soap operas and he doesn't want to. Why is Indy watching soap operas?
Why? Yeah, there's nothing indie about this indie. There's nothing indie about old. There's nothing.
I feel like there must have been a moment where Indy just had this accident. That's probably where the eye patch came from. And he slipped and fell off, hit his head, just banged up so much too, and that he just became kind of a goof from this point on.
And that's when he invented the flux capacitor. Yeah, no, it's yeah, it's old Indy. Just, it's, we love it because it's silly and fun, and we get excited every week to see what bullshit they're gonna come up with. But it does suck. It sucks. Like, it does suck. And this is one of the worst ones.
Yeah.
The old Indy is not watching soap operas in the fucking suburbs, hanging around his grandkids. He's just not. He's in his study. He has a farmhouse way out in the middle of fucking nowhere, you know, and some like old relics that he didn't give to the museum, hidden away in his barn, you know, like, hey kids, come look at this. He's got grandkids, but he doesn't really know them that well. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing his own thing.
Yeah, yeah. This indie just, and I love how, like, you know, we actually see the you know, let's just say the daughter or daughter-in-law, and she's like, we got this important meeting, we got to get to it and everything like that. You know, like, your show's stupid, grandpa, I'm just gonna tell you this right there that it's dumb. I don't know why you are. Well, let me, you know, you, I know we're running late, but 45 minutes, I gotta tell you why, you know, a story is a story and why I like these things.
And again, it's just so loosely tethered together. It's oh man, old Andy sucks. And so I guess if these are canon, which I guess they're not, because George's like, I'm gonna get these the fuck out of here, which is one time I agree with George. Like it does mess the story up, but yeah, it's bad. So I guess that family is Mutt's family. If you want to make these canon, you know.
See, and I'm the kind of person, I like to say that everything is canon. Somehow, some way, even if it fits in alternative weird ways, somehow it is. So what I do is, instead of being that person where I want to pull things apart and go, this is canon, this is not canon, I'm like, no, I'll find logic that how each thing connects together, even if it is bizarre and weird and some things are just left unsaid. See, I just believe this old indie had some accident at some point. And this is he's like Goku, because Goku, when he landed on Earth, he was supposed to be, you know, evil and mean and violent and so on. He got dropped off of like a cliff, hit his head, and next thing you know, he's the nicest guy ever. Well, something like that happened to old Indy. He was bitter, you know, in Harrison Fordy, and then all of a sudden he slipped on something in a cave, smacked his head real hard, and just woke up just being goofy and silly. And had an eye patch. The eye patch, I'm not even too sure. I think he might just put that on as like a character trait now. I'm not too sure.
Yeah. Is this the second time in multiple weeks that you've referenced Dragon Ball Z? And I feel like you referenced it recently. Maybe I'm wrong.
I might have. It's not out of the question, but
it's yeah. So Indy, yeah, tells his own story. He's in Ireland. He's got to make some money so he can travel across the country to get what he's got to do. And Remy's washing dishes. He's running drinks and stuff. And there's a revolution about to happen, because wherever Indy goes, either you're going to meet somebody famous or shit's about to hit the fan, or is hitting said fan.
Yeah, Indy hits all the revolutions. You know what I mean? And I will say, this is one of those ones where I did feel kind of bad for Remy in this one. Remy almost gets that one where, like, he literally kind of gets sort of bullied by Indy. Like, there's a scene where, like, Remy's sitting there, and they're in this, like, beater, like, hotel or whatever and whatnot, and Remy's sitting there, like, in his underwear, just being all sad and mopey. He'd be like, well, Indy, could you at least just go get me, like, a pastry or something before you go out there? And he's like, whoa. We can't be spending this money on here. We got to get tickets. We got to be doing this. You know what? You just sit here and don't even think about eating. I'm going to go on out. And as Indy goes on out, the first thing he does is like, hey, there's two hot, like, Irish chicks in there. Let's go see what's going on. And then he ends up blowing all his money on it because they think he's rich. And so it's Indy, so he can't say no.
Yeah.
So and he comes back and is like, here, I stole you a pastry from the Irish bakery. Eat up.
Yeah. Eat up, bitch.
And by the way, we're out of money again.
Sorry. Meanwhile, Remy's got this family that he never sees.
No, like,
he just met this lady. Well, no, he doesn't have this family yet. That's next episode.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true. Chronologically, well, at this point, he just wants a ham sandwich, and he can't even have that.
I just like it's Remy's such a funny character, because even in the Phantom of Doom, he's like, I got a family, I have to feed. You've seen them like once.
Yeah,
like, you know that lady's running around on them. Like you know.
Yeah, exactly.
She's just trying to get that, like, you know, I guess that check, I guess.
But she's getting that. She's like, this guy's just gonna die, and I'm just gonna collect it. You know, I'm gonna get the severance check from them.
yeah I'll take the Purple Heart. We were so in love. Yeah, it sucks for Remy. Man, damn, Remy can't even get a ham sandwich.
No, because Indy's just going out. And he finds these, like, stupid, like, Irish rich bitches. And it's just like, dude, Indy, what are you doing? Like, this is one of those ones where it's like, stop thinking of your dick every time you go to these new countries. Because I feel like there's nothing redeemable about these Irish girls. These Irish girls were literally just gold diggers. Like, Indy, literally, everywhere they go.
Dick brain.
Yeah, like everywhere they go, this chick's like, oh yeah, by the way, like, my sister's coming, her, you know, her boyfriend's coming, all this stuff here, and you're gonna pay for them, all right, Indy?
Damn, Indy. Yeah, Indy. I like how later on she goes, I'll never see you again, Indy. He's like, you damn right, bitch.
Yeah, never come back to Ireland. If there's something I learned.
Fuck Ireland. Yeah, I hate how at the end of this, at the start of this, he didn't know Ireland. Well, I guess, you know, because it's, I guess they haven't broken up yet, but he didn't know it's part of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, India would have done that.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that, you know, it's, you know, it's literally the UK is just America senior. So it's not like he's not informed by that.
Yeah. So remember, his dad took him all over the world and told people about smart people shit.
Yeah, they obviously, you know, for some reason, maybe it's a Scottish thing. He doesn't want to go to Ireland. Maybe. We're going to avoid one place.
Scotland.
Yeah. So, but, you know.
I am right, right? Like, Ireland is in there, but no, Northern Ireland is part of it, right?
Yeah, I want to say, unless anything's changed in somewhat recent times, there's that little teeny section, which I've always just been so surprised that it's lasted forever like that. There's like, the UK has this, like, that minute, like, two-town foothold there. And, but I almost want to say before this Irish sort of revolution, though, it was somewhat still taken over by England. It was, like, conquered by England still. Mm. But,
yeah.
That's like the weird thing is like literally from like the late 1700s to like the early 1900s. That's just when everybody's like revolution, revolution, revolution. We're all breaking free. Somebody's mm-hmm. getting thrown out.
America, you know, did it.
Yeah, America did it. So, you know, of course, because everybody's going to follow after that. Of course, French follow and Russians follow and all that stuff. They go, got to be cool like America. Mexico follows, you know. Indy joins in half of them.
Yeah. He does. He's yeah. So he's been there for the Mexican Revolution,
Russian Revolution,
and the Irish Revolution.
Like, yeah,
if they shoehorn him into the American Revolution, I'm gonna have some issues.
Or the French Revolution.
Or the French Revolution. Yeah, either one of those, I'm gonna have some issues. But like, well, what other? Well, he is going to China at some point.
Yeah, because the Chinese Revolution would be close to around this time too.
Yeah,
maybe
a
little farther though. But
maybe I'm not okay. We're sounding like idiots here, but I know there was one.
Yeah,
and maybe
because there's a communist revolution in China that changes everything, just like Russia.
Yeah.
So there's all this stuff, and at this point, you know, Indy's like. He starts hitting up the theaters as well too, and he finds one of these plays that's just like traditional Irish, you know, like theater of like good, like almost like patriotism stuff. And then of course about like a day later, he meets this guy in the bar. He's like, "That stuff's shit. You know, that's not what you want to see. That's not real Ireland. That's not Ireland out there. You should see my play." And you know, and he's just like carrying it in his back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "I write about the people of the land."
Yeah. Then that connects back to a soap opera at the beginning of the episode. See, everything's theater. No.
Yeah. It would have been better if you were just watching some WCW or something like that.
That would have been fucking awesome. That was, oh, man. What if he was? Like, 93, what's going on? They just screwed Bret Hart.
I love the idea that the old Indy is trying to connect the Irish Revolution to this episode of WCW with Ric Flair in it.
I think it's even better that he's trying to connect the Irish Revolution to like basically Guiding Light or like Jimmy the Restless.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just his old
picket fences or something like that.
He's just old black lady sitting there. Like, I ain't going to no meeting. I'm going to watch my stories.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and just try to connect it to the, you know, the Irish Revolution going on and so on like that.
Oh, man. This show doesn't suck. It doesn't suck. It's really good. It's really, good.
It's not, this episode's actually not bad. It's just got some, like, it's got some weird things that kind of go on, and Indy just makes some, like, but yeah, just sometimes like some of the decisions he's making with some of these characters here, it's just like, sometimes Indy, it's like, dude, all you got to do is just say who you are. Like he's almost trying to put this facade up, like where he's like was like, oh man, these chicks think I'm cooler than like I need to, so I'm gonna blow all this like waiter money I'm making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's some of the a real critical analysis of this, it's a very up and down series. The downs aren't really far down.
No.
They're still interesting and entertaining, and they're pretty good. And then the highs are really, really good. Like those, I still feel like you know, episodes 4 and 5 were still like maybe the best.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some other really good ones in there too. But like when he's traveling and doing the indie kind of like adventure stuff, Infinity Train of Doom had some of that in there. It's really, really good. And I enjoy looking at other aspects of his life, but it's got to be kind of fitted in with adventure still.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes it's just not, or it's a poor attempt at it.
Yeah, or it's just like in this last handful of episodes, we just have Indy just trying to, like, you know, bang around the world and so on.
Yeah,
and in his way, and even in this one too, he even does a thing. He's like, "Hey, Remy, come out for me for a second. Here, you're gonna go with the sister real quick because, you know, I'm sick and tired of getting cock blocked by her and her brother."
Yeah, I mean, can you blame Indy? Can you blame him? I mean, people just. Bitches swoon wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Ireland, Italy, Russia, America, doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know, anywhere and everywhere. It's just one of those ones. But
yeah. But you do get a nice mix of stuff. Like we had the Hardy's Boy stuff a few episodes ago. And then you have like some almost 007 feeling stuff, which is Phantom Train and Doom. Then you have your traditional indie stuff. And then you have just like, here's indie living life and learning some lessons about life. And I think it's a good way to do the show.
Yeah, no, I think the thing is there is a lot of variety in this show. And I think that's what makes the show one of the best kind of, you know, TV series. Because that's a lot of times like the reason I don't like a lot of modern TV shows is I feel like the variety is so little. It's like, it's almost that one where it's like the end of like 10 episodes or something like that. You're like, well, you could have summed that up in one episode. You know what I mean? Like you just stretch that material real thin where this one's just delivering. Like every single episode, you're getting something brand new. You're in a completely different location. Things change up. The genres change up. You know, he's meeting all kinds of new people. You're getting historical lessons. You know, you're getting values and all kinds of stuff. Like, there's so much happening. There's a very big package in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still really, really good. I'm still loving it. And we have fun messing around with it, but it is really, really good, especially for the time it was made in. I feel like it would be even better if it was greenlit today.
Mm-hmm. If it was still in this style, I think that's the key thing is because that's the thing is you don't see TV shows aren't really made like this too often anymore. I think that's one of the biggest lost things is they always want to make them so connected, like every episode connects to each other. But I love old school episodic type stuff because I feel you get more out of that.
Yeah, like it's loosely connected. Like X-Files was like there was overarching elements, but it wasn't every episode played to the next episode. It was like, you know, it wasn't like Breaking Bad, which I love. That's my favorite show, but it's very, you know.
Yeah, you can't just jump into like the middle of that, you know, show and understand what the hell's going on.
Yeah, every episode is to be continued in new TV. Where it wasn't like that back in the day. It was like, oh, this, you could just watch any episode of fucking MASH or whatever. this show does have overarching elements and shows that are like two-parters, but you could kind of just jump in anywhere and have fun with it still. But we'll see how Disney ruins it when they make them.
Yeah, that'll be the interesting one there. It's always a roll of the dice.
Yeah, and it's going to happen. It's something, they're going to do something with Indy.
You don't spend that kind of money and don't start milking that.
Yeah, like they're doing with Star Wars, making 3 new movies. Oh, God, don't get me started. Anyway, well, I got to go to sleep, so I appreciate y'all listening. We're getting a little delirious here, at least I am. I'm getting delirious. It's like what for you over there?
Yeah, it's only like 10 for me, but it's still been a long day, so
yeah,
that's another question.
Yeah, pushing one for me. So anyway, well, thank y'all for listening to the Young Indiana Jones Retrospective. A lot more stuff coming up soon. I think we have one more movie in the next three, too.
Yeah, because there's technically, I want to say, 3 more movies in total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have one more of those, I think, coming up real soon, maybe next episode. So plan is to get at least 3 out then and, you know, keep cranking along with these things. But yeah. If you like what you're hearing, go listen to the whole thing. We'll have the whole series up real soon. And the whole idea is we'll have everything ready and put together by Indiana June. So thank you all for listening. Go watch Young Indiana Jones Chronicles on YouTube. at Young Indie Restored. If you want to follow along with what we're watching, if you want to watch the order that we're watching it, go watch it there. Anyway, y'all have a good one, and Via VHS is out.